Negroni Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roney. All right. This episode, we are going to talk to Mr. William Lundeen about the Project Podenstein. There's a lot of stories about it, a lot of things that we tried, a lot of things that worked, some things that didn't. And the one thing that I wanted to talk to him about was how to manage a project with the scope of Podenstein. And there are so many voices and so many things to consider and so many things to do. And I wanted him to discuss it. So we are going to have part one of our discussion with William Lundeen about the management, the production management of all the different parts of the audio drama production Podenstein. So enjoy. So we've talked about the impetus of Podenstein before, how it got started, what happened. But the one thing I want to talk about with you is you brought skills that you had in your day job into Podenstein.
Well, I mean, the title of business analyst, and over the years it's changed. For a while it was director of the new initiative, that lasted for a few weeks. And then it was business architect, which is a lot fancier because it was a bigger thing. I guess you could say that into the Podenstein project I brought some organizational planning.
Well, okay.
Get her done.
Okay, let me start from here then. I think one of the greatest things you brought to the Podenstein project was this type of an overview. Sometimes people get really focused on every tiny little detail, of which you do, but you also have this, I think it's an uncanny gift to take a step back, take a look at a project, break it down into parts, and move forward. After you read the script and you got the script, then I saw you kind of kick into this, okay, how are we going to win this war? How are we going to conquer this battle? What kinds of things did you write down or start to think about as far as getting the project going when you read the script? Did anything come to you or did it come later?
The opportunity came up. Someone needed to take over this project that had gotten started but hadn't gone very far. After I read it, the first things that went through my mind for the big picture were, the question was, what do I want out of this, right?
Okay.
In any sort of long-term or even short-term project, you need to kind of know what you're trying to get out of something. Even if it's like a trip to the grocery store, you might have a list of individual items, but in the end, you probably want to make sure that you have enough for meals for the week or for the party coming up this weekend. So you have some sort of end game in mind. And from my point of view, knowing where you're trying to get makes all the little steps in between a heck of a lot easier, because then you can tell whether the step gets you closer or whether it's to going out into nowhere land. So I knew a couple of things, that I wanted to have a project where there was a win. I had sort of been in a project with work where I felt like I wasn't winning. There wasn't going to be an end in mind, and it wasn't going to be the one that I had envisioned years before when we started it. So I was like, hey, here's something we could take a hold of and do it our way and have it end up being successful at the end. So that there was a very selfish, egotistical goal right there.
Okay.
So I knew I had that. The other was the project initiated by Ron Plouf from Grill Cakes and the Orange County Podcasters Group. These were some interesting people with lots of different people that they knew in their networks and different sort of visibility into different demographics, say some of the projects we had been doing, and also the lots of overlap. So the other goal was to get ourselves exposed to more of the people who were producing content and more of their listeners, for either just for the current listenership or for future projects. And the third was, I wanted the end product, the audio for Podenstein, when it came out, to be something that I could have, say, my parents or my brother listen to and sort of understand a little bit more about this. What's this stuff you guys record, funny audio like Dr. Demento or something? And something that I might be able to listen to 5 or 10 years from now and get a chuckle out of. So I wanted something that would have some staying power, because there's plenty of stuff that you can do as a content generator that it's throwaway. It's good for the moment, and you're going on to the next. So I would say that the first part of the process after saying, okay, well, here's a script, here's an opportunity, was set aside, what do I want to accomplish with it?
I've talked quite a bit about choosing people that not only had a great voice, but also had an audience that could fulfill one of those, at least one of those needs of getting kind of farther exposure. And so you went through the process, and you and I talked here and there, but I think you made some excellent choices with the folks that were in the OC Podcasters. And then we kind of hit our saturation point, and then we just started kind of shooting for the moon. And it was...
Yeah, and let me jump all over you right there. Casting process was the, I would say, most difficult for me.
Okay. It
was the longest part, and I've read quite a bit during the late stages of the process and afterwards from some interesting people on their topics about how to do it for film and TV. I really never understood why it's such a big deal at the end of credits on different movies or TV shows that they would list casting done by, and then they have CSA after their name. It was like big letters. It's like, okay, well, yes, they picked the people on the show. Whoop-de-doo. It was interesting. You know, you can't find people like walking down the aisle at Best Buy. You know, you go into Best Buy and you say, oh, I want a CD from Linkin Park, and I want a new vacuum cleaner, and I want a video game. And you go down the aisle, you find stuff that interests you, and you pick it up, and boom, you've got it. It's a known quantity. You know what you're going to get. You know what you have to pay for it. With the casting process, you have people that are very interested who may or may not have the time or the talent or the commitment or the ability to stay in touch. And you'll have other people who have any of those other qualities that I just listed off, but maybe they're not as interested or they're not jumping up. Or like in the case of this script, although it had about 24 parts in it, you didn't have to worry about anyone having to just walk on and not say a line because it's audio. Everyone said a line. But not all parts were the big marquee roles. Not everyone got to play Victor Pottenstein or got to be the monster or got to be Victor's love interest. Sometimes that became an issue of being able to get people interested and enrolled in saying three sentences during the script.
Right.
And not just reading them off and saying, your home team headquarters, find even more teams at jcpenney.com now. But have them really live it as though it was happening in their lives. The people that we were able to start off with who had initially contacted Ron as being interested in the months before, some of which were still interested. And some either weren't able to be in contact or had other things that were going to keep them too busy to do this. And knowing that we had 24 roles to fill and maybe, I'd say, six solid commitments and only a handful of, okay, well, it sounds good, let me know. I knew that we were going to have to dig up people fast. And going back to some of those goals, you know, I said, well, who are some of the people that we've already worked with or we've come in contact with who have interesting stuff? And he came around later, but folks like Thomas Ward getting involved, a voice actor. And then because of some things that Ronies and Productions been doing, getting involved with some of the folks who had been doing projects like at Pendant Audio. Interesting people putting on lots of ongoing dramatic series as well as doing other projects. And so we had Eli Hirschman and some others come over from over in those messages. And I remember that being, for me, a kind of trying time reaching out to that community because we'd only had small inroads over there with the founder and some of the others. I would say that the group obviously had a lot of pride in their work and had worked together, and they knew themselves, and other people who weren't working on their stuff maybe just didn't get it, and so I think that some of their initial reactions were kind of condescending.
Well,
but I decided, you know what? You have to have kind of thick skin to get through stuff that you want to do. And it was a good test for me at that time to say, was I going to follow through on this and be able to stick my guns and take criticism or a lack of enthusiasm as a sign that we should stop or just another, you know, that's three more opinions. Whoop-de-doo. We've only got 6 billion people to worry about, so move on.
Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roniezone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.ronizone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni Zone radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.ronizone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much.
Another internet? Three more opinions. Whoop-de-doo. We've only got 6 billion people to worry about, so move on. So those were good opportunities to reach out and get some cross-pollination there of different genes. And another thing that I grasped onto early, as I said, you know, I want to see if I could get some people involved who, frankly, you know, I'd come across through being a consumer, someone seeking entertainment and news on the internet or on TV. And so there were some people that we reached out to, like Callie Lewis from Geek Brief TV and Joanne Cullen from Rocket Boom and from the Fine Living channel. You know, that I said, these are people who, if I was listening to this project downloaded, it'd be cool to have them associated with. And then later on, getting involved with Paul and the here. Really nice lady.
Okay. Here.
Willits, Jennifer.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
So getting them involved, well, you know, people with great personalities and enthusiasm and a willingness to do stuff maybe they hadn't done before, but hey, why the heck not?
You kind of mentioned a couple of things. One is people who we could kind of readily get a hold of. One. Two is we hit a kind of saturation point when we hit up Pendant, when we hit up old Roni Zone folks and old Tatooine TV folks that we could kind of get our hands on, get an email out to, and kind of get rolling. And then, you know, we had discussions, and you wanted to go for...
Joanne?
Yes.
Joanne and Callie. And it was like, what was your reaction when I first said, hey, I'm going to hit them up?
I was kind of the wind in beneath your wings, but I knew that it could go north or south real quick. So I think we had some excellent choices as things move forward. I know that you hit some spots where, especially early on, that it was tough. It was tough to find. It was 24 parts. 24 parts is more than any project I've ever done up to that point, and probably still now. 24 is a lot, and it's not three, and it's not two, and it's not you and I doing different voices. 24 distinct different people that you know, we were doing for that. So You really had to kind of stick to it. I offered some names here and there, but you basically drove that cart. I commend you for that.
And thank you. And that's an important, you know, part of Podenstein, but I would say it's another important part of getting together some other goal or project.
Right.
Being able to sort of identify what you need and finding ways to get a hold of it. You know, if you're going to be building your fence in the backyard, you might not know everything you need to get, but eventually you might come across the fact that you're going to need to dig a hole, and you're going to need some wood and some hammers and some nails and saws. And getting that stuff together early in the project is important. It's important for your success. Just like the choice of the type of wood that you use on the fence is going to determine how long it's going to last and how it's going to look, you know, picking the right people to get on the bus for your road trip is another important thing. And I think we were very fortunate in going through that process and hitting different groups and talking to different people. Some joined and some didn't, and that's okay. But to get a good mix and to get all the parts you need together for the project.
I think one thing that you did early on also that, you know, we can definitely kind of highlight right here is you set dates. You set a drop-dead date for the end, and then you set a midpoint date also. And I think you also set other dates. I think there were four of them, if I remember right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think there were about four dates set out. And part of that has to do with just my personal as well as work experience was that if I set one date just when it's going to get done, a lot of stuff happens that last day or last hour.
Right.
But by having intermediate points, you can check yourself and adjust better. And also it gives people something shorter term to look forward to. If I said, I need you to have all your stuff ready for taxes by April 15th, you might be really busy on April 13th.
Right.
But if I said, you know, I need you to have all your paperwork ready, just all the stuff that you have this year, just by December 31st, and then, you know, on February 3rd, we'll bring in those things you get in the mail from your employer, and then on March, we'll go over the list and see the stuff that might be missing. You know, you have short-term goals. You might start working on them sooner, and that way, if December 31st comes along and you don't have the papers done, well, you know what? We still got a few days until that February date we're going to hit. So I think it keeps people a little bit more focused, makes it more real. If things don't happen exactly the way you expect them, you have more time to adjust.
What did you use? We'll get to kind of what you use for the actors as we move forward. But you know, you and I remember us kind of dinking around with some type of project, different things to kind of keep it going. But what did you finally use to keep you on schedule?
The tools I used to keep me on schedule, I relied heavily on email and a calendar program. I decided to just go ahead and use my Google email Gmail account.
Okay.
And it's linked up to their calendar system. So it was very easy for me to mark stuff in there, you know, even just by sending an email to some people and having a date and a time in there, it would just sort of show up magically. So I was able to use these tools, which were available on any computer I sat down to. You know, if I was using, and I did for a while, you know, also put together some spreadsheets when I was organizing some information. But something simple like sending that between computer A and computer B, they might have different versions of a program or not have the program. And so you're like, oh, shoot, I don't have to keep monkeying around with not being able to get a hold of the information I need. Because keeping track of people's names, their contact information, what they needed to do and what they hadn't done, all that really was the gist of the nuts and bolts of the operation. So by using Google's email, which was infinitely searchable, and you could caption and label stuff in a lot of different ways, and their calendar program, I was able to keep that information online in a place I could get a hold of it, and if I wanted to do something with it offline, it was easy to send out. We did, like you mentioned, try to use a project planning tool, and I think if this project had gone a little bit bigger and had done some of the things which we didn't do, which we could talk about later, it would have been very important to use, but it was a little bit of overkill for this. It was a little bit more rigid in that we would have probably had to really stick to our guns for a lot of these tasks and deadlines. Right. It wasn't as easy to adjust when life happened. So, but yeah, the main tools I would say would be email and a calendar program.
So you made decisions and you cast it. And let's just kind of pretend that everything was cast when you fired the first gun, right? And
right.
You sent out all those emails. I think you did a fantastic job by encapsulating what you were doing, what the project was, your scope, the end date, so that people had a total idea of what was going on. I would say that that's very important. Would you agree?
Definitely. And when I got acquainted with the project, I told you I set out for myself some main goals I wanted to get out of it. In order to achieve those with 2 to 3 dozen other people involved, entails a lot of communication. It means that you need to make sure that people are clear on what you're trying to accomplish, when you're trying to accomplish it by, and what they're responsible for. If I were to say to 3 of us in the backyard, hey, we need to get lunch ready. Well, depending on the personalities of the people, there might not be anything happening. Or 3 people might decide to go and start the fire, not even worrying about what they're going to cook with it or whether they need a fire. So sometimes when you leave things a little bit too open-ended, especially in a group or committee, in my experience, is you don't get organized results or effective results. So being able to say, I need you, Jeff, to go inside and see what we have to cook. I need you, Colleen, to go start up the grill. And I'm going to go and get the utensils and tools we need to cut and serve. Starting off from there, someone might say, well, that's not everything. It's like, yep, but it's what we need to do to get started.
Right.
Also getting a shared, I don't want to sound too lofty here, but a shared vision of what you're trying to do so that you can make sure that you've got commitment and buy-in from the people. You know, if we all decide that, once again, going back to the other analogy, that we're going to have lunch and you wander off thinking we're making this big gob salad and someone else thinks that we're making, you know, ribs and I think we're ordering out Chinese, we're not necessarily all going to end up getting the results that we expected. And, you know, A, we could end up having a really horrible lunch or no lunch at all. Or what could be even worse is you can have a lot of hurt feelings.
Right.
And people.
And let's hit this, too. It's something that I realized, and you probably did, too, is not only do you have to know the person as far as their qualities and all this, but know where they hang out. Now, I'm not talking about stalking. And it's kind of funny, but the truth is you need to know where they hang out. Their MySpace page, their Facebook page, their this, their that, their something else. Because, well, why? Why would that be important? There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hello.
Hi. I'm here to pick up Kate for our date.
Oh, you are you? Well, first you're going to have to answer a few questions.
Okay.
Mac or PC?
PC.
Do you have a web page?
What?
I said, do you have a web page, boy?
Yes.
Ever downloaded files illegally?
No, never.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you listen to the Jesus Geek podcast?
No.
Jesus Geek. Technology news and how-tos for the connected Christian. www.jesusgeek.info.
Who was that, Daddy?
Nobody you'd ever want to meet. Jesus Geek. www.jesusgeek.info.
From around the globe into your living room, it's the Jen and Dave Show. Rabbit trails are our business, and business is good. You can find us at thejenanddaveshow.com.
Okay, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to end the show this time. And next episode, we're going to pick up where we left off with part two. So, hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roney@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.